This is the third and final lesson in resolving objections to right division, and just a primer, orientation a little bit. Someone had written some objections, and someone else had seen them, a seeker, someone trying to get the truth, and they asked me how to answer those objections. So I called the objector, the person that criticized and tried to denounce rightly dividing the word of truth from 2 Timothy 2:15. In the lesson here, I don't name him. I called him Mr. X. So when you hear me talking about Mr. X, it's the person that tried to throw a monkey wrench in the works. I want to start with Galatians 2:14 through 16. Paul rebuked Peter for not walking uprightly according to the truth, according to the gospel, truth of the gospel. And so starting with verse 14, but when I saw that they walked, this is Paul speaking, when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest in after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Verse 15, we who are Jews by nature, in other words, by nativity, by birth, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles. You can see there was a barrier there, a wall, a difference. Leviticus 20, verse 24 and verse 26 show that difference that carried on. Anyway, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now this is Paul talking to those the Jews there that came out of the synagogue because they believed that Jesus was the Messiah and were no longer welcome in the synagogues. And Paul met with them or wrote to them and kept feeding them spiritually. And look at a little bit earlier, verses 11 and 12 in the same chapter, chapter 2 of Galatians. But when Peter was come from Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain people spoke of earlier, earlier in the chapter, I think it is, or possibly the other chapter before. For before that certain came from James, in other words, from the little flock there in Jerusalem, that was James was one of the leaders, he did eat with the Gentiles. So he had liberty. You know, Galatians 5:1 talks about the liberty that they had. They were not the ones that believed that Christ died for their sins and that that was their salvation. They were in the body of Christ and they had liberty. The ones that were meeting together with them that believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, risen from the dead, their Messiah, they were called into Judaism. They were waiting for someone like Peter or someone to come and teach them because they were still being called in Judaism. There's nobody being called into Judaism anymore. That ended with the fall of Israel and the casting away of Israel. In, you can read about it in Acts, Acts 7 and Acts 28. But when they were come, talking about those that came from James, the Jews, and I think it's the same Jews that said you have to be circumcised to be saved. Well, that was quite a mix-up because circumcision was for Israel, not for the Gentiles, unless they wanted to enter into Israel and become a Jew. But the Greeks didn't get circumcised. They were blessers of Israel. They came in under that part of the covenant, Genesis 12:3. So these people coming down saying, if you want to be saved, you have to be circumcised. They were mixed up because Israel wasn't saved yet. Acts 3:19 says they get their salvation, their sins forgiven, blotted out, when the Lord Jesus Christ returns from heaven to earth again, to the land. Anyway, when they were come, he withdrew, talking about Peter, withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. That's that little flock in Jerusalem. Fear. 1 Peter 1:17, Peter talks more about that fear. But let's keep on here. This is verse 13, Galatians 2:13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So Paul recognized that Peter had an influence on the former Jews and Greeks in the churches of Galatia and Antioch there, where Paul made it kind of a home base. So Paul exposed Peter's hypocrisy in front of all those that had observed Peter's fearful flip-flop. Paul did the right thing in so doing, in exposing Peter. So Mr. X's opinion comes out in his statement here. Let's look at what he said, Mr. X says. He's going to try and make his point. How could Paul rebuke Peter for not obeying his gospel if he was not sent to preach it? Paul would be insane to rebuke Peter if God sent Peter to preach a gospel different from Paul's. So he's trying to make it like, or find reason to believe and persuade people that Peter and Paul preached the same gospel. You know, that's not even logical. I mean, you know, the destination of one gospel, the promise, the good thing that happens in Israel's gospel is that they get life on the land, on earth. They get to rule the world with Jesus Christ on the throne. And welcome to the room. I didn't see you come in before now, but welcome. The prize that we get, or the promise that we're promised in the body of Christ, is that we're saved from the wrath of God. We go to heaven, and we are seated. Actually, we are already seated. Our spirits are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are in Christ now, not waiting to be saved like they are. There's so many differences. It's hard to see how someone doesn't, you know, that claims to have studied it, why they don't see those differences, stark differences, opposite. But we're going to see that these statements by Mr. X are faulty logic. They're not the truth, and they're not something on which to try and build a doctrine. Mr. X is trying to make a general application out of a specific sending, a specific event. He's trying to make it a rule for everybody. Peter was sent with the gospel of the kingdom to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and later to all the world. After the Son of Man become, according to Matthew 10:23, kind of delays the last part of the so-called Great Commission. Matthew 10:23 says, "But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another. For verily I say unto you, you shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come." So those first three of the four parts of the sending there in the commission given to the 12 apostles, the first three were Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, all parts of Israel. Samaria being the northern part that went astray and got captured and intermarried and came back as a mixed breed. They were still descendants of Jacob, though. Part, not full descendants, but they had some Gentile blood, too. But they were all three of those within Israel's boundaries, and the last part was unto the rest of the world, unto the ends of the earth, I think it's worded. Well, that's the part that Matthew 10:23, the Lord had told them ahead of time that they're not going to get outside of Israel with their commission. Peter was not sent with the gospel of the kingdom to those believers in Paul's churches of the Gentiles in Galatia. Let me say that again. Talking about Paul's churches in Galatia that Paul's writing to here, Peter wasn't sent to them with the gospel of the kingdom. Okay, he was sent to the Jews, to the circumcision. So Mr. X makes a faulty conclusion here. He says, Paul was not insane, and he and Peter did preach the same gospel. Well, they didn't. It's easy to see that if you, you know, if you can understand English and read your King James Bible. So let's go on from there. You can see what Mr. X has been trying to build a case for all along. The trouble is that he has built it through deception about what the Bible really says. And Mr. X said they both preached that Christ died and shed his blood for our sins. And he's got four or five references here. All of them good references, and that part is true. We meticulously went over those verses earlier in the study, though, and found that Peter did not preach the gospel that Paul preached. Preaching that Christ died on the cross, or that he died for sins, for people's sins, or that he died, or that he rose from the grave. Those are all facts. They were all prophesied. They were not the mystery. They're not what Paul preached, the mystery that Paul preached. There's no salvation. I didn't say anything about anybody being saved, did I? When I was talking about the blood of Christ, the blood of the cross. But that's the machinery. That's the facts that make it possible for God to save us legally, justifiably save people that believe. There's the key word. The link between the blood of the cross and our salvation is to receive it. If you don't receive it, you don't get it. He's offering it. It's there. Okay? So, if poor Mr. X believes what he had just stated and what we just read for his salvation, then he's as saved as Satan is. Satan also believes that Christ died for our sins. Our sins in the context being Israel's sins. Even though later it's widened to include all people that believe that gospel. I should be specific. It's not open to the person to believe, to choose what he wants to believe and call it belief to be saved. It's up to God to tell us in his word what he wants us to believe. So we read it and we believe it. It's the gospel of the grace of God. It's formerly the same saving message was called the gospel of Christ. And you can find it in Romans through Philemon. Even in Acts once or twice you can find it. So the good news that Christ died for our sins, it's not, it doesn't save you without you trusting it, put it that way. So you can find those things about the death of Christ and sacrificial death, and that it redeems Israel, but it doesn't say how. It doesn't say how to access it. The mystery of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, regarding what the believer does or believes. And it's believes, there's no doing in it, but some gospels require doing. But the gospel to us tells us in first and second verse of 1 Corinthians 15 what the believer is to believe. It's the facts that are in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 3 and 4. Verses 3 and 4. So verses 1 and 2 tell us how to handle verses 3 and 4 to be saved. And it says, you get saved. It says it's a gospel in those four verses. It's truly good news, meaning a gospel, that Christ died for Israel's sins. And as Christ later revealed to Paul, that Christ died for the sins of all people. But the gospel of our salvation is what we do with that fact that Christ died with our sins. And that's what verses 1 and 2 tell us. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 and 2. We find the fact that find out about Christ dying for our sins by receiving it to ourselves, to our own need, our need of a Savior. believe that Christ did everything necessary when he died on the cross for our sins. That's better than just being forgiven or excused for our sins. The sins keep us from God. They're the problem. I know you'll hear people say it's not the issue. It's not now, because Christ became my sin and your sin and died the death. I mean, the wages of sin is death. You can't just excuse it. Someone had to die for it, and he did. It's all done. You don't have to die for it again unless you decide to reject the Savior. So you initially, you stand in that gospel which Paul preached, and by receiving it as your only hope, you're saved. Look at the verses. 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved. Remember, we saw in Acts 3:19, Israel has to wait until Christ returns before they get their sins blotted out. Well, this says you are saved if you've believed it. The moment you believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, you're saved. He says, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached. That's what Paul preached. Verses 3 and 4. That Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. He's saying, you know, at that time, there was still Peter and the 12 apostles going to Israel and preaching to the circumcision about the covenants and about the coming kingdom coming from heaven to earth to rule in the land that was promised their fathers and their seed. So if you don't believe what I, Paul, preached unto you, you've believed in vain. Well, Mr. X draws his faulty conclusion from his faulty premise. You always get a faulty conclusion if you have a faulty premise. He said, Mr. X said, when Peter preached the gospel of Christ to the Jews, it was called the gospel of the circumcision. Well, that's just the opposite of the truth. I mean, it's just wrong. I don't know if he's... I think later on we'll find out whether whether it's intentional or not. But the gospel of Christ that saves us today was not called the gospel of the circumcision. It was called the gospel of the uncircumcision. The other gospel was the gospel of the circumcision. But he says it was called the gospel of the circumcision for the simple reason that it was. It was a promise God made to the circumcision in the Old Testament. If it was in the Old Testament, it wasn't kept secret, was it? It was in the book. So, you know, people just don't believe the Bible sometimes, or they haven't thought through what the Bible is actually saying. Mr. X has absolutely no verses showing what he just claimed. The Bible never called the gospel of Christ as being the gospel of the circumcision. The Jews, no. If it was the gospel of the circumcision, Paul couldn't have been saved because he was unforgivable in the circumcision gospel and doctrine. As we just showed the scripture for, the mystery of the gospel of Christ was simply not in the Old Testament. It was only the good news that Christ died for sins, bore Israel's sins, justified many, not all, many. That was what was found in the Old Testament. And that is never said to save anyone. Okay? The gospel of the circumcision is always associated with Peter, not with Paul. Peter was only called and sent to go to Israel. That was the extent of his calling. And not to go into the way of the Gentiles. Look at Matthew 10, verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. We were left out. It wasn't to us. We can't read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and find ourselves in there, or any orders to us or promises to us. Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not. I'll be glad to handle questions when I get through with this in order. Probably it'll be handled here in the text. the notes that I'm using. The gospel of Christ was only revealed to Paul. It wasn't revealed to the 12. It was only revealed to one person, God's chosen messenger, his chosen vessel. He called him the apostle of the Gentiles. The is singular. The apostle is singular. Paul was called to be the apostle of the Gentiles. Christ's heavenly gospel to Paul was for all people, to the Jew first and to the Jew blesser with the Jew first. When Christ finally sent Paul to all people in Acts 20, or some people think in Acts 28, it's a difference of when he was received the sending and when he was actually starting to write the letters and sent and talking to people about the gospel after he was sent to all people. But when he was finally sent to all people, that same gospel message, the same saving message, began being called the gospel of the grace of God instead of the gospel of Christ. But it was the same salvation message, that Christ died for your sins. Believe on him to life everlasting. That he died for your sins, in other words, and that your sins are gone. He imputes to you and to me as believers, he imputes his righteousness. You want peace with God? That's the way to have it. Not to have any sin on your account. That's God's short account system. They're gone, and they'll never be. God will never see a sin in you, even though in our flesh we still act out sins occasionally, and less and less. The more we realize that that our sins went to the cross, and the Lord was on the cross. So the gospel of Christ was a mystery. It was untold in the Old Testament. It was untold in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. It was kept a secret. You can't find it. No matter how much you read in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you won't find our salvation there. You'll find talking about salvation, but it's for Israel. All right, let's go on. Mr. X speaks insufficient truth. It's truth, but it's not saving truth. Okay, read Isaiah 53 and you'll see that this is what Mr. X says. God promised promised the circumcision a Savior who would die and shed his blood for their sins. Now, if you were listening, you didn't hear anything about salvation, being saved, being justified, anything like that. It says that God promised the circumcision a Savior who would die and shed his blood for their sins. And that's correct. However, what Mr. X says next does not follow. And it's not based on Scripture, since when he said the word it, he's still referring to the gospel of Christ as if it was a prophetic gospel of the circumcision. Which it's not. It's not the gospel of the circumcision. It's not to or about a specific group like the circumcision. It's to all people. Mr. X then wrongly applies the facts of Isaiah 53, saying it is truly the gospel of the circumcision. For it, he's not talking about Isaiah 53 there. He's still talking about the gospel of Christ. It was given to them by promise in the prophets. Well, since Mr. X means Paul's gospel of Christ when he says it, then his previous statement is totally made up. It's fabricated, unsubstantiated. It's a lie, in other words. The rare Old Testament information about Christ dying for sins is not the gospel of the circumcision. And it's never called that in the Bible. The gospel of the circumcision is only mentioned one time in the whole Bible. In Galatians 2, verse 7, the gospel of the circumcision refers to the gospel that those of reputation, those leaders of the church in Jerusalem, they preached it in Jerusalem after the fall of Israel in Acts 7. The gospel which was preached of them in Jerusalem is easy to trace. And we did that earlier in the three lessons that this is part of. They're going to be available if you want to check on that. The 12 preached the kingdom to those who kept the law. Okay, that's a different system. invited to that kingdom, the kingdom of God in heaven, yes, but not the kingdom that comes from God to earth, comes from heaven to earth. The kingdom of heaven is on earth. It's the kingdom of heaven is not heaven. Okay, they preached the kingdom to those who kept the law and had faith in the name of Jesus, in other words, his identity, being the Christ of the Hebrew Scriptures, and that Israel needed to repent of its apostasy and be baptized to be identified with the king and the kingdom. It had been at hand when Jesus was on earth. Before Israel fell, it had been in hand. In fact, during those first seven chapters of Acts, had they turned around and believed, the hierarchy of Israel and the majority of Israel, had they believed, Christ would have returned and brought the kingdom, starting with the 70th week of Daniel, tribulation. So it's simply not true that Peter, or the 12, or the Old Testament, or Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John ever preached the gospel of Christ, which Paul had revealed to him by Christ, and he preached it for salvation. That error in teaching merely shows a mistake in Mr. X's studying of the scriptures, find out what the scripture teaches regarding rightly dividing the word of truth. If you look, I've got three verses here. They kind of demonstrate that the need to divide between Israel's gospel and our gospel that was revealed by Christ to Paul. Start in Galatians 1:11. We'll start. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's verses 11 and 12. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved of God, approved unto God. Got to get it right. Every word does count. We believe that. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you ignore the division in the word of truth, you have reason to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. We're not dividing truth from error. We're dividing Paul's truth for us. We're dividing it from Peter's and the circumcision's truth for them. James calls that the word of truth in James 1:18, but it doesn't save anybody today. In other words, Paul is saying that if you don't rightly divide Paul's word of truth from Peter's and James's word of truth, you do need to be ashamed. It doesn't say you're not going to be saved or you stop being saved. You weren't saved if you could ever stop being saved. It's a wrong use of the word. Somebody will think of it. Not a malaprop. Anyway, let's go on. If you analyze what Mr. X is telling us, his salvation falls short. He says, when Paul preached the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles, it was known as the gospel of the uncircumcision, because under his ministry, well, that's true, that part, it was called the gospel of the uncircumcision, but listen to the reason he gave us, the error here. Because under his ministry, this is Mr. X's statement, under his ministry, uncircumcised Gentiles can now be saved by the death and shed blood of Christ without becoming Jewish proselytes or keeping the law or works of any kind. He picked that up from somebody. That's not sufficient to save anybody. God did his part, sure. He died and shed his blood on the cross, but that gospel there doesn't say he died for our sins. That false gospel, I should say, that Mr. X is purveying. And it's without keeping the law, without becoming Jewish. That's true. But it doesn't offer quickening or salvation. A person has to believe it. And that's what 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, well, 1 through 2 says you have to believe, verses 3 through 4. To be saved. And it mentions the word saved, that you are saved. in verse 2. Again, what Mr. X claims is the gospel of salvation saves no one. No one has ever been saved by merely because of Christ's death and shed blood. That's not the gospel of salvation. If it were, every person born would be saved. Those facts are in the Old Testament. It's not the mystery. It can't be the mystery because it's told about. Those facts are in the Old Testament. Mr. X left out the vital link, the link between the blood of the cross and our salvation. For a person to be saved, Christ's finished work on the cross must be received. It must be trusted, believed on, that that's what's going to get you to heaven. Not anything you do to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. And that's not random righteousness. That's God's righteousness. That's what we need. So, Mr. X said in error that uncircumcised Gentiles can now be saved by the blood, by the death and shed blood of Christ without becoming Jewish proselytes or keeping the law of any kind. He should have believed and said uncircumcised Gentiles can now be saved by receiving the death and shed blood of Christ without becoming Jewish proselytes and keeping the law or works of any kind. So, in other words, he left out the part that you receive it. And, you know, he's error-ridden. It's not a slip of the lip at one time and he really believes it. No. This is over and over he's been saying these things. He speculates. Look at the speculation here. He said, in other words, Paul took the promise that God made to the circumcision in Isaiah 53. Well, I object to that part already. And offered it, the promise, to the Gentiles and told them they did not have to become Jewish proselytes to claim it. Well, you don't have to become Jewish to be in the body of Christ by receiving the gospel, but that's not the gospel. And as you read through Isaiah 53, Mr. X's recent statement is the statement I just read there. It's totally invented by Mr. X himself. There are no biblical verses, no verses in the Bible about that for that imaginary scenario to be based on. Besides, you're in big trouble if your salvation gospel was merely what a person in the past decided to adapt from what God designed to be for Israel only, and only Israel gospel. And look in John 4:22, if you don't think it was for Israel only. John 4:22, that is. Besides, Isaiah 53 is not a promise. It's a prophecy. It's not a promise. It's a statement of facts that are yet to occur. And as you read through it, you can see it describes the crucifixion. And it was long before there even was such a thing as a crucifixion. And it tells of a coming redemption, but it promises nothing. It never tells you how to claim the benefits in Isaiah 53. Or even in Peter's gospel, Acts 2 and 3. But God later would procure those benefits by the cross and dispense it through his only apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. So, Mr. X's statement is totally made up. If Paul's gospel was merely Israel's circumcision gospel, adapted with lower qualifications, then there are three scriptures that would be violated, making Mr. X's theory only a private interpretation. Let's go through those three scriptures that are the truth. Let me just get a sip here first. In my big blue cup. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. We read those before, but I want to bring out something in it. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, nor was I taught it. Did he get it from man? Did he get it from Peter? From Moses? And he says, I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that didn't come until after Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. At that time or later, he wasn't receiving any revelations when he was killing people for believing in Jesus. So he only got it from the Lord as a revelation. The Lord changed things. He's got the right to do that. Galatians 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. And it goes on, but that's the part we want to see. Why would Paul have to communicate to the 12 apostles or Israel's apostles the gospel that he's preaching if they were preaching the same gospel? They weren't. That's why. He did go up there, and if you read on in Galatians 2 down to verse 6, it says they added nothing to it. They didn't have anything to say, well, you should be doing this, you should be getting circumcised, you should get baptized, you should preach this. No, they added nothing to the gospel that Paul was preaching. Second Peter, this is the last one of the three. Second Peter 3, verse 16, talking about Paul, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest or wrestle, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. It says some things hard to be understood. Why would the gospel that Peter is preaching be hard for Peter to understand? If Peter was preaching the same gospel as Paul, you know, he's saying that Paul's gospel has some things in it hard to be understood, because it's not the same gospel. Galatians 1, 11 and 12 says that Paul had his gospel revealed to him by Jesus Christ necessarily after Acts 8. And the Israel's apostles were teaching their gospel before Acts 8. Galatians 2, 2 says that when Paul got together with Israel's 12 apostles, they became aware of Paul's gospel when he communicated unto them his gospel. And 2 Peter 3, 16 says that when Peter did hear the gospel, Paul's gospel, it was hard for him to understand. If Peter had taught Paul the gospel that Paul preached among the Gentiles, Peter would have fully known it. It would not have been hard to be understood. So going on, Mr. X just changes a little bit of the Bible. Mr. X says in Galatians 1, when Paul said, if any man preaches a gospel other than his, let him be accursed. He meant, this is still Mr. X, he's saying, he meant every man without exception and distinction, including Peter. Okay, there's a problem there, don't be swayed. There's a problem with what he's saying here. So, and we're going to get to that and then expose it. The trouble with Mr. X's statement is that Paul did not say what Mr. X reports to us that he said. Believe your Bible, not the teacher. Have your Bibles open. Look at the pages, the print on the pages. See what it says. Don't just believe someone that seems sincere telling you something from the Bible, or that he says is from the Bible. You know, be a little cautious. It's so important. Your eternity is at stake. As we showed in minute detail earlier, the true meaning is only transmitted, given to us in a complete sentence. Mr. X left out two important qualifying words when he claimed to be reporting what God said that Paul wrote. So, which Paul did write down what God said, but he's Mr. X is reporting it wrong. Mr. X, in his overzealousness to set a trap for true Bible believers, has left himself without a gospel of salvation, and without any integrity remaining. Mr. X makes an untrue application and assumption. He says you can debate all you want about what Peter preached before Paul's conversion, but don't teach the heresy. This is still Mr. X saying this. Don't teach the heresy that he preached a different gospel after Paul. If he did, God would have cursed him, according to Galatians 1, verses 5 through 9. Well, that's just not true. That's not who the curse is to. And we saw in 2 Peter, written later in Peter's life, that what Paul preached was hard for Peter to understand. So they didn't preach the same thing after Paul was saved, after Israel fell. And it's not in the Bible that they preached the same thing. Mr. X's practice, he needs... I don't know. Let me just hold on to that statement. Anyway, Peter was sent with Jesus Christ's gospel of the kingdom before Paul was saved. Peter preached the same gospel after Paul was saved, as he preached before Paul was saved. It was Paul, not Peter, that told the churches in Galatia to accurse from them anyone who preaches unto them a different gospel than Paul preached unto them. Peter, you may be picking up what the difference is here, what the difference is between the Word of God and what this Mr. X says. Peter's gospel of the circumcision was precisely the gospel that Paul was referring to when he said any other gospel. It was not any same gospel, but any other gospel. There's no scripture that tells that Peter changed his gospel after Paul was saved in Acts 9. In fact, in 2 Peter, like we mentioned in Israel's program, not only are works still required to accompany faith in 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 11, but also in 2 Peter 1:12, Peter acknowledged that some of the Jews, probably from Paul's meetings, had become the remnant according to the choice of grace, being established in the present truth. That's the wording of it there in 2 Peter 1:12. Judaism still existed, but was no longer the present truth. By then, the only way to be saved was by Paul's gospel. When Peter wrote that, Peter was talking about some Jews having been called into and believing the present truth, Paul's gospel of Christ, in that verse there, in verse 12. Well, let this be an example to each of us. Never do sloppy Bible study. Bible study and belief is way too important for us to just change the words change them around to fit our own preconceptions, our own ideas and opinions. Sadly, Mr. X might claim to be a pastor. If so, I hope his fellowshippers there in his gatherings, I hope they study better than he does and that they straighten him out before it's too late for him. Look how silly Mr. X's final statement is after we've seen the true Bible facts. Paul was not, this is what Mr. X says, Paul was not insane, but some of these people who say that he and Peter preached two different gospels at the same time need to have their heads examined. Well, that's me. and I say Mr. X doesn't bother to study and believe every word in the context or to value God's word as it's written, when it was written, and to whom it was written. Mr. X failed to follow Paul's scriptural instructions to rightly divide the word of truth, the truth of Paul's gospel of salvation, from the word of truth in the rest of the Bible. The rest of the Bible is to and about Israel. And that's what James 1:18 is talking about, the rest of the Bible, not Romans through Philemon. In fact, Mr. X directly violates the scriptural instruction, which would have benefited him had he kept it, to rightly divide the word of truth. So, just a little bit more here. Concluding statement, there are many, many like Mr. X out there, both deceivers as well as well-meaning error propagators. People have tried to guess to whom to whom the substitute name of Mr. X was given. They invariably guess the wrong person, but their guess was a person who just as well could have been that objector. I mean, there's lots of them out there. You meet them in Foul Talk, you meet them in Facebook, and other places, I'm sure. Be very wary. Compare every teaching to the King James Bible, not to your favorite Bible teacher. Also, consider the context of each verse, the surrounding verses, what is actually being spoken about there, so as not to give any word of Scripture a private interpretation. Believe the Bible, not the teacher. Let the teacher show you the verses, but put your trust in the verses themselves, in context. Okay, I'm done. We did get through it tonight.